This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Segment Serial Data and Serial Sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald, Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. The fans are getting what they want. Yeah. I have Chris Frangiola back. Welcome, Chris Frangiola, to the Juicy Scoop program.
Thank you very much. I'm so I feel like I haven't been here in forever, so it is all new.
Well, we've had the holidays. You've traveled.
I know.
People
ask about our relationship. Where are we? I get a lot of people, what is going on with you and Heather? And I was like, well, nothing. I mean, Heather and I are fine. We're good.
Yes.
We're just two busy adults.
We're just two busy adults. But we text each other when there's something that's significant, something that we want to secretly shit on.
Right. Exactly.
Then we text each other, or I send you a DM reel or whatever of like, look at this asshole.
Yeah.
And that's really what an adult professional relationship in Hollywood is about. Can you send snarky reels to each other?
Yes.
And you don't have to even say anything.
Right. I think it's just not just Hollywood. Adult relationships, friendships.
Yes.
It means you see each other three times a year. I mean, that's basically, otherwise you just see your family, whether you like them or not. That's what you do. And you just got to do the appointed rounds, you know?
Right.
Pick up the daughter, take her to school, pick her up, take her back. Pick her up, take her back, take her to.
Of course, Mike, I'm now.
You're out of that.
Yeah.
I know.
My youngest is now 18.
I know. Just last week,
like,
right?
I fucking killed it. I can't believe I've accomplished what I've accomplished.
Good for you.
Have three kids that are, Mackenzie came to, we had a little birthday party at Lucille's. He and his three friends sat at one table and a couple of the parents came, that you know, we've known forever. And no, the boys didn't have their phones out. It was four men having a conversation, talking. And listen, I didn't think I'd be here. There were many a times I was like, I fucking failed. I wasn't there when they were little. Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I choose this school? Why didn't I put them in this program? Why didn't I hold them back? Whatever the questions.
Right.
So far, so good. Really, really working out. Mackenzie has a new job that she's starting on Friday.
Really?
Yes. She's going to be a PA on a very happening show, which I'll tell you about later. I don't want the trolls to come and try to kidnap her.
Right.
And but Drake's doing great. Junior in college. He had two friends that came to visit that were complete total delights. One's a year older, already has a job lined up. In automotive engineering and I'm like, where are you going to live? He's like, I've been saving up my money for my summer jobs. I'm going to put a down payment on a house. I'm like, oh my God, how did I, like, very, very happy that.
Well, congratulations. I'm going to admit that I was wrong because when they were growing up, I was concerned about the bacon and milk intake. And turns out,
oh my God,
the chocolate chip pancake intake. Look at them now. I mean.
Well, you know what? I was always concerned about the fact, being a horrible mother, that they didn't eat the vegetables and all that shit.
Right.
And I'm like, how are they still, like, never having colds? Nothing's wrong with them. And they're just, like, meat and cheese. I used to, like, dream that they'd eat broccoli. But I tell myself, I go, one day they're going to be shamed into, like, eating other stuff by their peers or girlfriend or whatever. And, like, one day Brandon was just like, you know, no, I want to eat healthier. And he, like, started jogging.
Whoa.
And, like, you know, like trying different things and starting to cook and can totally cook for himself. And you know, I mean, I encourage it, but I also like, it also kind of came upon themselves. And I'm like, God,
good.
Good. It is pretty great. And so we're going to go look at Oregon, Oregon State, Utah. He got into all those schools.
Really?
And we'll see.
Okay.
I think now that he got into all these schools, I'm like, are you sad that you didn't even try for any California schools? And he's like, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, we're going to go. It's going to be really cold and whatever. We'll see. That's, you know, but he's.
Well, I have a 4-year-old, so it's a whole different world. I just.
Well, there
to...
won't be a world.
I know.
No,
exactly.
That, you don't have to worry
that's
about
what. My wife's always telling me about colleges. I'm like, colleges? Who's going to be some AI robot doing everything for us? She doesn't. You know, like, that's a whole different world. And we don't even worry about
who
that.
Who knows? Yeah.
We're worried about, like, the next school, and we have to go to, like, interviews for the next school.
Oh, because you're entering kindergarten next.
Well, I don't, there's 7 kindergartens. There's
right.
Kindergarten 1, kindergarten 2. I'm like, what is she in now? I have no idea what grade she's in. I feel like this is kindergarten. Because they're.
No, I think she's in pre-K.
But what's the difference? They're finger painting. It's not like they're doing anything, you know, of substance. It's just dumb.
Yeah.
They're painting rocks and shit.
Well, I just want to say, I remember when Brandon was in preschool and we had this big sit-down meeting.
Yeah.
Because they thought there was something wrong with him because he would climb on the outside of the plaything. Like he was doing it a different way.
Yeah.
And then when he would fall, he wasn't overly sad about it, you know,
right.
Or then he'd get up and go do something else. And they're like, maybe he has some like sensory issue or something. And so I go, oh, my God. So they give us this piece of paper saying all their concerns about him. And I go home and I have my parents were still living next door. So they came to babysit. And Peter and I like went to a dinner and we came back. And my dad was like, wow, I read that report about Brandon and that is incredible. And I go, you mean the one where he might have like sensory issues and something's
yeah.
wrong with him? He's like, no. In his like World War II Marine mind, that showed that he was like a little badass that was thinking outside of the box. And also when he got hurt, didn't really give a shit.
Just came up, yeah, right. All right.
So anyway, it turned out he was fine. So it was like all these young moms,
right.
Like, my God, there's just so many things to worry about. And like, just like have faith.
Well,
have
I'm doing,
faith
yeah, we're interviewing
that you're
a
good a
lot.
Mom and hopefully it'll all fall into place. Maybe not in the timeline of your neighbor.
Yeah.
You know? Like the
I'm
my,
a dad, though.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a good, you know.
What do you mean I'm a dad?
No, you said you just have faith you'd be a good
oh,
mom.
Oh, good parent. Good
yeah,
parent.
Right,
that you're
right.
A good, you're right, exactly.
Yeah.
You're a good parent and you're there and like there's going to be phases and there's going to be ups and downs, but it's going to
I feel
to
like I'm there more than most dads. And I'm not going to speak for everybody,
yeah.
But I feel like I want a little more credit than I'm getting in the household because I'm there a lot. I am there.
Believe me.
I'm doing things.
In the household, you're getting it from the outside people because at least in my day, you know, it was Peter that was like having to pick them up from school and stuff. And
right.
Then everyone just thought he was the greatest thing that ever lived. And then he headed up this golf tournament that made more money than the 3-day carnival.
Right.
Because he like is a dude and worked out the profit. And was
yeah.
like, this is a more profitable thing than having everybody try to, you know,
yeah, throwing
make
water
25
balloons.
Cents off of like
yeah.
a little game.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, they just thought he was the greatest thing. And I'm like, well, I'm still doing everything
yeah.
too, though. Like, I'm still like,
yeah, you got to
give
some credit.
And like, it all works out. Listen,
anyway, well,
come
good.
Together for the kids.
That's
if
what
they're
we're
still
doing.
On the, we're going to get into a few things and how the world is ending in a minute. A Real Housewives of Salt Lake, we finished the season, we finished the reunion. I have to talk about it.
Okay.
There was this girl, Monica, that I've talked lots about.
Right.
She turned out she was an internet troll.
Oh.
She
oh,
was a
I heard
full
about
internet
it.
Troll.
She had a name or something, right?
Reality Vontese.
Yeah, Reality
who
Vontese.
Went after the girls. Really, she went after Jen Shaw, who she tried to be Jen Shaw's assistant because she was wanted to be on the show. And she was like, Jen Shaw's on the show. I want to be on the show.
She's in prison now.
Yeah. But this is before she was in prison.
Oh.
And she was like, Kim Kardashian made it because she was... You know,
an organizer.
Paris's organizer or assistant, basically,
yeah.
To do her closet. I'm going to weasel my way in that way. Well, in it, she claims, I realized what a horrific person she was, and I started to record her, and I also suggested that she get cameras in her home.
Right.
But when she hooked it up, the cameras came to Monica's phone. So then Monica sets up this fake account, this, you know, troll account, anonymous, called... But Real Vontese. And in it, she starts releasing a video of Jen Shaw, now convicted criminal of stealing from old people for 20 years, screaming at her designer and her staff and being a horrific person.
Okay.
So I discover it and I'm like, oh my God. Like, you know, and I start corresponding with person. I'm like, who are you? I thought it was the male designer. She claims a few of them were on it. She gets on the show, but also during the time, she would also post all this awful stuff about the other cast members under the guise of, look at the awful thing that Jen Shaw said about Heather Gay. But then she would show it like 15 times that she called Heather Gay Shrek or something awful.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of them didn't really like this account. Then the account goes dark as far as she doesn't post anymore because she gets cast. She acts like she's friends with everybody and all this other stuff. And then the final scene is when Heather Gay realizes what she has done.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's pretty dramatic moment in reality TV. And it's pretty. So then they have the reunion. And instead of her being like, you guys, I wanted to be on the show. I did this shady fucking thing. But I did really like you guys, and I feel really bad about it. She just doubled down. Monica's just doubling down, and she's like, so what? Like, I, you know, so what? You're awful, too. And, like, the production knew that I had a troll account. And Andy's like, no, they did not. We would have never hired you if we did. So then she kind of realized, maybe that wasn't the lie to tell. So yesterday they announced, no, she is not coming back.
Okay.
Which I think is the right thing, because they all are like, we hate her. We're never going to film with her.
Yeah.
She's the worst. Like, how can we trust her when she was, and she put out lies and all this stuff about all these other people. Then Heather Gay finally admits that it was Jen Shaw, the convicted criminal, who gave her this black eye last season. They all got drunk and hung out. One morning she woke up with a black eye, and she and Jen Shaw acted like they didn't know how she got the black eye. And people were like, did Jen Shaw get mad at you and punch you? And she was like, no. I don't know. What happened? Then she goes on a book tour and she kind of jokes about what could have happened, but she never says it. And then yesterday they finally go, so Jen Shaw did get a black eye. She goes, yes. And they show like this footage where you can't hear them, but it sounds like it could be them working out the scheme that Jen Shaw gave the black eye. And that was it. And I'm like, but you never explained why she gave you the black eye.
Did they fight or something?
Like, did they get fight? Like, I was like, I needed to hear something like, we got really wasted and I said something and she jokingly hit me. I didn't think it was a big deal, and I woke up and the next day I had a black eye. But I didn't want to say that she did it because I didn't want people to think that she was more violent than she was. Like, I still feel like we don't have the answer.
Right.
And I think she's being careful because Jen Shaw is a badass who's in prison. Sure. And I do think that is scary because they could meet somebody in prison. I mean, that's
send
what
her after her?
Yeah, they could send somebody after her, or she could be sued or whatever.
Yeah.
So that there's the whole thing. I think it is amazing because they, you know, and then Heather Gay says to Andy, which I thought was interesting. She goes, Andy, you know that every housewife in every franchise says the only bad thing about this job is the horrible social media trolls and fans that go after you and are anonymous and all this stuff. And then now we have one in our cast. Like, we cannot. It's like having a terrorist, like, hanging out at your home. Like, it's just, so I agreed with all of that. And I thought she did a good job. And then I also thought that Lisa Barlow was like, Andy, I feel like you don't even care what we've been through. And so she's not coming back. She'll probably go on some other Housewives, not Housewives, some other reality show, like Villains or Traitors or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's it. So I had to feel that I know you don't care, but I had to.
I don't. It's not that I don't care. It's not my.
But I know. But I just want to say it was kind of juicy because it was
about
the social media.
You might as well be speaking Chinese that last 8 minutes. I
know, but it's okay because otherwise, what are they going to do?
No. You're right.
So she got the boot, and here's the black guy.
Oh, that's her with the black guy.
Okay, so now let's talk about the other
Oscar nominations.
Oscar nominations.
Right.
The only thing you really have to know is that the director of Barbie was not nominated. And
Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie, the star of Barbie, was not nominated. However, right. America Ferrera was nominated
for
Best Supporting. And then also Ryan Gosling was nominated for
The Man.
Was he supporting?
Yeah.
Supporting. And so basically the Oscars is like, what could be Barbie 2. Like, it's
right.
Basically the storyline of, like, we put this all together, we made the most money, and we still didn't get, the two women didn't get nominated, and the guy did.
Right.
Which,
It's all okay. Here's my opinion.
Please give your opinion.
First of all, the Oscars at this point, let's face it, it doesn't have the pomp and circumstance or whatever it once did. It feels like it's lost a step over the past few years. For whatever reason, I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah.
And so for that reason, we need to get as many eyes on it as possible. That's all the Oscars is for. It's for ratings. So when they have voting, whatever, the Academy votes, and they get these votes and they count them all up, and there's not, just change it. It's not, this is not the presidency, you know, just like Greta Gerwig didn't get enough nominations.
Wasn't it the Oscars where they used to be like, and now we have
they bring out the accountants.
The accountants, they'd bring out like their old-fashioned suitcases.
Two guys come out, they got a chain to their arm or something, Price Waterhouse accountants. And it was always like, nobody cares about the votes. People want to see Margot Robbie in a dress on ABC. That's what we want. So if she doesn't have enough votes, when you look at it, you're dumb.
Well,
you know,
she still could win an Oscar for Best Picture because she is a producer.
Okay,
like, yeah.
All
but
that.
But still, not as fun as Best Actress. Yeah, not as fun.
You just change it. Because there's been a few, every year there's a big snub like this. This seems to be a real big one, but there's always one. And it's just like, well, that's the person we want to see. And you're all looking for ratings on this. So just change it to Margot Robbie at the bottom.
You know, I don't know. How many people actually vote? Are we talking thousands?
I'm not exactly sure how the Academy works.
But I mean, I really do think that if these people voted, really watched all the movies, which I certainly did not.
Right.
And they had to pick. Is it 10 for each category now?
Or no, is it just it's only 10 best pictures.
So it's like
could
six.
Could be up to 10.
Okay, but it's like six less. For the normal categories or
five.
Something. Five. So that's not a lot.
No.
So if you saw everything and then you really thought about like whose performance really moved you, and most likely, probably still 80% of the voting people, maybe not 80, but a good majority might be older and might be men, and or even older women might not feel like this Barbie movie was the greatest thing they ever saw.
Right.
And so they're like, no, I'm going to vote for the old swimmer. What's her name?
Yeah, Naiad. Yeah. Annette Bening, yeah.
Annette Bening got nominated for being this... she's a lesbian swimmer, right?
Yes. Exactly.
And so she swam and swam and swam and swam, and like, good for her.
Yeah.
I'm sure she was amazing. Listen.
It is...
I can't bring myself to watch these movies. I'm like...
Which ones?
I haven't watched any of them.
What did you watch?
I watched May December, which was snubbed because that was about the Mary Kay Letourneau story, which is, there's only a few stories in life that I'm obsessed with.
Right. So
Mary Kay Letourneau.
Oppenheimer, not
Menendez Brothers.
Okay.
Scott Peterson, which is getting a reboot. And
getting a reboot in real
life. In real life because they have the LA Innocence Projects. Yeah. And Betty Broderick. Those are the only stories that I will revisit over and over and over again. Not Oppenheimer.
Yeah. All right. What about Maestro? The one about...
I don't want to watch it.
That seems like...
I can't bring myself to see it. I don't want to see the flowers in the wind.
Flowers.
And I know people are going to write in and be like, Heather, and you'll love it. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll watch it. Maybe I will bring myself to watch it. Maybe I'll really like... put in my schedule, but every time I get in my bed or whatever and I have time to watch something and I whip out and I start to look at the overwhelming things, I go back to what I've been watching all week.
I think everybody does. I think your phone.
My phone?
I know. Like everybody.
And then when I can finally put down my phone, my new obsession, which I talked about last week, is the return of 2010 Millionaire Matchmaker LA.
Oh.
It is.
Like, oh, the old ones?
Or it's so comforting. Patty Stanger looks like a completely different human.
Yeah.
And she has these two punkers that are working for her trying to find millionaires. It's like the most produced fake thing.
Right.
Everyone has a sky top on. No one has eyelashes. Everyone has thin lips.
Wait a minute. So this is the actual old ones. It's not a reboot of
Netflix bought it. And I cannot stop. I can't. I there's something about that time of my life. It was like we were at Chelsea Lately and my kids were little. And I don't know. It's just like, it's so bad. It's good.
Okay.
I can't. So, I mean, if I can turn that off and watch these Oscar nominees.
I would think Kills of the Flower Moon might be better than that, but I don't know.
I'm sure it is. But there's something about like finding it and putting it on. And then also I think when I would, back in the day when we would get the screeners.
Yeah.
And we would have DVD players and stuff. It kind of felt special. Mm-hmm. Like, ooh, everybody else has to go to the movie theater.
It'd have the FBI warning on the front. Yeah. Like you're actually breaking the law.
Right. And it was kind of like a flex.
Yeah.
Where I was like, oh, saw that one. You know, yeah, because we didn't have to go to a movie theater. We could actually just watch it in our house.
Right.
We got the DVD sent to us. And now everyone can watch it in their house.
I know.
They can watch every single thing.
Yeah.
And there's no coup about it. There's no flex.
Did you see Air, the Nike movie?
No.
I think you'd like that. I think you'd like it. Check it out.
Okay.
Ben Affleck.
Matt Damon, I feel terrible, but I'm just being honest. I'm very authentic on the Juicy Scoop show, and I just didn't.
I'm going to give you two movies to watch, okay. And I think you're going to like both of them.
Okay,
I'll give you three. I'm going to give you Air. I'm going to give you a movie called Dumb Money about the because they're interesting for several reasons.
Okay, I heard about that one.
Remember the whole thing about the people buying the stock for a GameStop.
Okay.
It's about that.
Okay,
interesting story, and about the guy who invented Hot Cheetos. And this is real. It's very good.
Is that a movie or a doc?
A movie. Directed by Eva Longoria.
All right.
Yeah. And it's the guy who came up with the Hot Cheetos. And it's an interesting story.
Okay.
Three guys who like came up with a weird idea. Nike.
Yeah.
Dumb Money and Hot Cheetos. And they're all very good movies.
All right.
So there you go. That's my
I did watch Saltburn. That's not an Oscar nominee in my opinion. No, it's not.
No, and it didn't get nominated for anything. Because,
No.
I mean, nobody wants to see somebody fuck in the dirt or whatever. Like, what? Somebody told me about it. I'm like, why do I need to watch that? And like, he was licking cum out of his drain or something. I'm like, what?
No.
This is what I've heard.
It is not, you do not need to watch.
Okay,
Because the rest of it isn't that juicy. Like, I kept going, oh my God, this is going to be like one of those juicy rainy day movies. Like, I'm so excited to see it. It's going to be like a talented Mr. Ripley. Like, and there wasn't enough of that juiciness. And then those three scenes that are so shocking,
yeah,
that are so like really gaggable, kind of just makes you not even appreciate the rest of it, where there were some funny lines and there were some cool moments.
Right.
But there just wasn't enough. You're like, what is this? And you're like, wait, is he gay? Is he straight? Are they rich? Are they satanic? Like, what is it? It was just like, I don't know. It wasn't good. I like the song, Murder on the Dance Floor.
Oh, is that from Saltburn?
Yeah, it's in it.
Oh, I've heard
it's
that.
It's in
song.
That. That's right.
All right.
Okay, moving. And Jimmy Kimmel's the host.
Jimmy Kimmel will be the host again. Bye. He gets the job done. Yeah, he's perfect
after
for
this.
It.
I mean, are we going to risk a person? Now, we talked a little before the show started. We haven't talked about it.
Our friend, Joe Coy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
it seems like old news now.
It
but
is
it was
old
a few
news.
Weeks ago, yeah.
It is old news. But I think in light of the Barbie thing, you know, that was a joke that everyone got really mad about it. He's like, there's... You know, whatever, based on a 700-page book, and then based on a doll with plastic boobies.
Yeah.
And which also, boobies is a word that Chelsea always used. So I feel like he picked it up in the last 3 years as like, haha, boobies. And it was just such a dumb joke. And then for this to happen, where again, it's like, these men just think this is a dumb movie about Barbie stuff, and guys just are like, if they don't like it, they don't want to go see it. And,
whether
you
liked Barbie or not, it doesn't. Barbie brought in $1 trillion,
right?
And this whole town is built on the fact that these movies need to make money,
right?
So the fact that this movie brought people back into the theater, which is next to impossible these days,
yes.
For that reason alone, they should have been nominated for everything, because it's all everybody sitting in the seats at that night watching the Oscars is dependent upon these movies making money.
I really think the way the movie thing has to work in the Barbies is like I talked about this before, but this past weekend was the weekend I went to go see White Chicks at this thing Fork and Film.
Okay.
And much like the fancy movie theaters where you can eat during it, they serve you during it. It was like a pop-up like at a little like restaurant. You could, mm-hmm. The screen was great. The sound was great. Food was really yummy. Creative menu that had to deal with like what you're watching on screen.
Okay.
And, you know, I brought Brandon and my sister and her kids and my friend Kathleen. And it made it an event. And I think that's what happened with Barbie. It's like you need to make it some kind of event, like, so either it's a food thing or it's a show that's like, let's all dress up like Barbie. Let's all then, you know, it's like when I do a live show, you know, it's like, what's so great is that the Juicy Scoopers get on a group text and go, okay, you guys, should we get 6 tickets? Let's all go together.
Right.
It's like about like getting a group together somehow.
I agree.
And not every movie is like that. And
also,
not every movie can be like
the
that.
The one that did get the most nominations is Oppenheimer. I think got 12 nominations. And the only reason Oppenheimer was the success that it was is because of Barbie. For whatever reason, it was all tag, Barbieheimer, whatever it was. That's why.
And Selling Sunset helped it.
Selling Sunset?
Yeah, the Oppenheimer Tiny Twins.
Oh, is that their name? Oh, yeah, they have. That's their. Is that their?
No, it's Oppenheim Group.
Yeah, that's right.
Close enough.
Yeah, those guys helped too.
I think they helped too. I think they should be invited to the Oscars.
Yeah.
They really, you know what? Like, oh my God, if I was doing it, maybe not the Oscars, but maybe if I was in charge of like the Golden Globes or whatever, I would have invited those little twins.
Why?
Just for fun.
No.
Just for fun. Just for fun. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's my opinion on it. I mean, at this point, I think you almost have to correct it and say, all right, they're nominated. And then just give her the award for best director.
Or all this talk will make people watch it.
It's already made $1 trillion. Yes. Like, everybody's seen it. It's funny. You can always tell.
It's almost better that she wasn't nominated, the director, Greta, because then it's like, okay, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Wait till you see my next one. Like, for herself, but also for the world, it's almost better that she is not going to win for this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's going to make her next project that hopefully, like, she's going to be that much more into it.
I often wonder if they care about it, because Leonardo DiCaprio is also snubbed for Kills of the Flower Moon. And I wonder if he cares. Like, he's Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, I wonder if his agent calls him and goes, bad news. And he's like, I'm sorry, I don't have cell service on my yacht. What? There's models everywhere. They're blocking. I can't hear. You know, he's like, I don't have to go to the Oscars.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
I always love it because it's like, well, I was sleeping. I actually forgot that the nominees were coming. And my agent or my PR person called me at 5 a.m. I thought someone died.
I know.
I was like, hello?
And it's such bullshit, too, because there's like nine award shows leading up to it. You know damn well.
And you're like, what? You did it? You were nominated?
Yeah.
And then my team was at my doorstep with coffee and donuts. Or when they announce it and it's like the people in the press are like, woo! You just hear that.
Yeah. Do you watch the award shows? Are you still like a fan?
I skimmed through them this year. I could skim through it. Because, like, obviously I was interested in Joe Coy and Chelsea. So, I kind of got through it and I looked for the highlights. But once I have one on, I don't really turn away. If I commit to turning it on, I do kind of watch it. I do like the fashions and all that kind of stuff.
I like the holdovers, too. Paul Giamatti. That's a really good movie. You should watch that one. I'm trying to give you movies that are under 2 hours that you can watch.
No, I thought The Holdovers might be a good thing for me to watch with Brandon because he goes to an all-boy school.
Yeah.
So I thought,
you might
like
get
it.
Something out of it.
Yeah. I made him watch Saltburn.
Oh, no.
Well.
Like child abuse. Why'd you do that?
Because I was like, this is going to be a juicy movie. Everyone's talking about it. I didn't know what the scenes were. So the first scene was sucking up the cum from the bathtub.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's pretty gross for him.
And then the next was, you know, going down on someone that's that time of the month, okay?
Uh-huh.
And then the third was the grave.
Fucking a grave.
Yeah. And then there was another thing that then he finally just walked out.
Yeah.
And there was only like 7 minutes left. And so then I was like, Brandon, it all like concluded. Do you want me to like tell you what happened? You know, you want to come back and watch the end? And he's like, no. And then he guessed the ending.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I guess it wasn't that juicy if you had figured it out before. Right. And like, you know, but he'll forgive me, whatever.
Okay. Well, good.
But maybe I'll watch that. Okay. So Crystal Hefner, it's all coming out. The book came out.
Mm-hmm.
She's looking to change her name. She says the first time that she had sex with Hugh Hefner, it's the classic story now we've heard from everybody. No one's hiding the secret of what it's like.
Right.
You have to go in a room. He lays there. He gets hard somehow. He turns on the
porn.
And then you and the other girls have to hop on with no condom.
Oh, several girls.
Several girls. You have to hop on with no condom and baby oil. And then a lot of people said
baby oil, like
for the lube, and she said that's not a good idea, and it gave a lot of girls infections.
Yeah, I thought that was
so. That wasn't really fun.
Okay.
And then she was like, "Get me out of here." Then she goes and runs to Phil, Dr. Phil's son, Jordan.
Okay.
And they date for a while, but then she's like, "No, this isn't working for me either." So she goes back, and now she's like, "Well, he's pretty misogynistic. You know, she's like, he was, you know, wasn't that nice.
Hugh Hefner?
Yeah. Are you surprised? And then, wait, there were some other, like, kind of interesting things about it. Wait, let me find. So then she's like, well, then I stayed with him. And I don't know what she was expecting it to be. I think when you marry someone that old, you're expecting that they wouldn't live as long as they did.
Yeah.
You know, and that this sex would stop. And I guess it really didn't for a long time. She said, I was never in love with Hef, but I loved this old man in the ways that you're supposed to love your elders. She said, I ran straight to Jordan and hid from it all, moving in with Jordan. However, it felt overwhelming and intense. Their dynamic started to sour pretty quickly since she went back. Then she said, I not only had Lyme disease, but I also had her breast plants were causing her illness. So then that wasn't fun. And she also suggested that she might have been exposed to toxic and mold exposure, which totally makes
sense.
In
the house.
Because, old brown water bed or whatever it was. I mean, there was definitely toxic mold in that house.
A lot of oak and, mahogany.
Yeah. And, seems like nobody ever, got a vacuum going in there.
And remember that old lady who was, his assistant just sitting in a closet all the time? They'd pop in on her.
Mary.
She'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. Hefner's going to be late for lunch.
There were unspoken rules. The number one rule of living in the mansion was you always had to adore Hugh. The second was a plastic surgery rule, which she claimed made the women in the house competitive. So who was going to get the best implants? She got a nose job and liposuction. And then he was diagnosed with an aggressive E. coli infection.
Oh.
But she did hold his hand until the end.
Oh, that.
But anyway, she said... overall, Crystal felt that Hef had never taken a moment in his entire life to figure out how to please someone else. Mm-hmm. So that was real shocking. Guess what? Doesn't go down on anybody.
Right.
Sorry. I don't know. Did you expect the 91-year-old to know how to satisfy a woman? She's like, what? She's like,
this is salt burn, lady.
Yeah. Wow. I really would have thought, being that he was such this man of Playboy that he doesn't care about satisfying other women. I mean, I was like, please.
Get the baby oil, sweetheart, and no funny business. I'm just going in for a few minutes and then I'm coming out.
I think Casablanca's on tonight. So
that was my favorite joke he used to do. And just what a 22-year-old girl wants to sit on an old dusty couch and watch Humphrey Bogart movies. No wonder she ran to Dr. Phil's son. She's like, get me out. In a way, I know I've heard this story a million times.
Yes.
Every Playboy Playmate tells their story about it, whatever.
Right.
And it's just like, well, of course it's all very interesting and you could sympathize, but there's also a side of you that's like, but you kind of knew what this was going to be. Like, what'd you think it was going to be? It's the Playboy Mansion and all that,
And then
weird.
Once she got married, she was probably like, how many years do I even have to wait for this to end, soon?
Yeah.
He's really quite old. But you know what they say, a woman who marries for money, works harder, is the hardest job that any woman could ever have.
Yeah.
Because it is not going to, it's a transactional marriage. It's never going to be on the equal level. You're going to have to agree to everything. You know, even if he's rich, trust me, you're not going to probably have a good out when you're ready to leave.
Yeah.
And then also it's the power thing. So if she had tried to leave before to try to be an actress or anything, he still had a lot of power and connections. So he probably would have killed any opportunity she really had.
Right.
So she's probably just like, you know what? I'm just going to power through. And then it's been quite a few years since she wrote the book, and now she's setting out to change her name was the last thing I saw.
Get rid
of Hefner.
Good.
But Kendra Wilkinson said that she was got high at a Sublime concert the day that Hugh Hefner died, and she doesn't feel badly.
So, good for her. Yeah. That's the way to turn it around. Yeah, good.
Tristan Thompson has been suspended for 25 games for violating NBA's anti-drug program.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, this guy, he just can't stay out of trouble, huh?
They said, according to the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers forward tested positive for banned substances, and it's called ibutamorin. And anyway, they are, I guess they're like steroids. Enhancing. So, all the stuff writes itself. He cheated on Chloe, he's cheated with Jordan Woods and with other women, and he had another baby with. And her whole family seems to stick by him and think he's the greatest dad ever. And now this thing is pretty bad. So when you are suspended, since you're, you know, a dude.
Yeah.
So you missed 25 games. Isn't the season over by then?
In the case of the NBA, no, I think there's 80-something games. So there's a lot.
So then you're suspended for 25 games to make sure that the drugs are out of your body, and then they retest you, and then if they want you back, then they let you back in.
Yes, exactly. And if he gets, I think he tests again, he's out for like a whole season, like next season, if it's the same rules as Major League Baseball.
So, and then won't it be interesting if once the 25 games are up and they test him and there's nothing in his system, what if he just totally sucks?
Well, he probably could. Yeah.
Like without him.
A lot of times that's happened. Like they get off and they, you know, they just don't have the same career they once had because I guess this stuff works, you know. See these guys hitting, you know, 100 home runs.
Right.
And then they get off it and they hit 20 home runs.
You're cheating. You know, that's like the way people feel about Ozempic. You're cheating.
Right. Yeah.
Cheating what?
I know.
Cheating wanting to get into a size 4 jean? Like, what is it your issue? Like, what do you care?
That's the kind of way I felt about, like, the steroid era of sports, you know, because if they're going to charge, you go to a baseball game now, it's $400 for a good ticket.
Right.
Used to be $10.
So you want to see them all on steroids.
Yeah, exactly. So I want to see 20 home runs. If I want to see ground balls to the pitcher, I'll go watch my daughter play softball.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe they just go, fuck it, everyone. But then there's still going to be the people that then don't have the opportunity to get the drugs or don't want to take the drugs.
Right.
So you've got to take the drugs off the table. When did the drugs first like become known?
Jose Canseco, I think, was the first one to really put it on the map. You probably remember him. He was this crazy jacked up.
Yeah.
It was just, to look at that era, like you watch old.
Is Jose Canseco the one that hates A-Rod?
Yes,
and like and trolls him on the internet. And like,
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because he's the one first person who said broke down the steroid thing in baseball, and all the other baseball players were like, there were guys who looked right at the camera because they had to go to some congressional hearing about it, and they would look right in the camera. I think it was Rafael Palmeiro was one of them. He looked right in the camera. And he's like, I did not do steroids, and of course he was
like a Clinton. I did not have sex with that woman.
Completely steroided out for his entire career. And most of them were. Anyway, that's a boring story for this podcast.
It is interesting. So, you know, we'll see. Okay, meanwhile, in the Kardashian world, Kanye West had his now legal wife, not legal wife, I don't know, but she was just having to cook in this kitchen that's just nothing fancy. It looks like, you know, it looks like a small house.
It look well like
that redid their kitchen in like 1995, and she's wearing a black, you know, zip up dominatrix hoodie, boots, and the tiniest one piece, and then another one. He put her in a black dominatrix jacket with these weird shoes. And Chris Frangiola, I noticed you had a funny little comment under here. Chris bringing the comedy in the comments.
Yeah.
He writes, do you live in a one-bedroom in Yucca?
Well, if you guys knew Yucca here in Hollywood, it's a street. And there's the apartments on that street. This makes so much sense.
Like, we're ready to see those blinds.
Yeah.
And there's only like three missing that cover exactly. the aluminum sliders.
Yeah. This looks exact. That brown carpet, that kitchen that you saw in the earlier picture.
Cream walls with white trim.
It's all so one-bedroom apartment on Yucca.
It really is.
That was the most shocking thing about the pictures. I find this girl to be very attractive.
Very attractive.
She's a very good looking person.
Everyone's like, why is someone not, you know,
rescuing her?
I have said it, and I think I'm on the right side of history in my prediction. I think she's completely in on it. I don't think they even fuck.
Right. Like other girl.
Julia Fox said they never boned. And I think she's like fine. I think she's getting paid under the table to go along with it.
Right.
She came from some mafia family, allegedly from Australia.
Okay.
And I think she's just like, I don't care. Like, I'm going to be more famous than anybody. And whatever, if I want to leave in a month, I'm going to walk away with probably a couple $1 million.
I always wonder when.
So then here he did a photo shoot and he invited the paparazzi.
Yeah.
And so she has some like weird like fur rug on her head and something. And then he is covered playing the piano while she does it, this video, with his head. And then here they are wearing raincoats and they're both naked underneath, or she's just naked underneath a pair of boots. And then this is the best one. She wore these pants, these little shorts that had like a little circle.
Like a dick
hole. This guy, yeah, Gillette Slays, I follow him on TikTok. He said it's for, you wear these to do a strap-on.
Oh.
And remember when Amber Rose had that great Twitter thread where she said he likes me to do butt play with him and everything.
Oh.
So I don't know if he wants people to know. I feel like everything is deliberate. So I don't think that she just threw these on before going out and she used them the night before to like service Kanye.
Right.
I think everything is deliberate and he doesn't care.
I don't have those in my
But like look at his drawer. Like awful outfit for just going out. He wears like a crop top sweatshirt. He looks heavy. He needs the Ozempic, honestly.
I mean, I just don't understand when you'd start dating somebody. I don't know how they met. Did they ever say how they met?
She worked for him or something.
Oh, she was like
hired him.
Yeah.
And then he chose her because she looks like Kim. And the other thing is this his art of mocking Kim? He found a girl that looks like Kim.
Yeah.
Like it's you know, whatever. What do you call it when people do like where they're like live art, like doing something.
Performance art.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think this is his version of performance art.
Right.
And it's to mock Kim and her sexuality and, you know, and how sexy she was. He found a girl that's like a younger, more natural, pretty, very pretty version, very similar to Kim's face.
The greatest, and she looks hot. The greatest, 15 minutes of my life was years ago. My older brother was dating a performance artist in New York City. And, you know, that's what she called herself, I guess, you know. And my mother trying to explain to my father what a performance artist was. And my father just couldn't understand it. No, she's an artist? She does paintings? No, Gene, she's a performance artist. She does performance. Like, what type of performance? And then my mother's explaining. She, I don't know, eats dog food or something. But she's a bullshit artist.
That is
something
that
you can't explain
movie,
to an old white guy.
Like so many movies have scenes of people going to an art opening or art exhibit or walking up and looking at something and then a guy hits on you.
Yeah.
And I'd watch so many movies and then I'm like, I'm going to go to a museum by myself today. And obviously I'm going to be, you know, love it. And
right.
I'm going to have someone hit on me and experience it. After like a little bit, I was like, all right.
Yeah, I got it.
Like how, right. I don't know.
I know.
It can be, I mean, it's a good thing to do like for yourself and for the kids. But I feel like it's in so many movies and it's not in real life. Like how often are normal people going to like art openings unless
know.
You're in that world?
I know, but I feel like, yeah, there's a couple of good, I miss the days of speaking of that type of behavior. They're like the 80s or early 90s movies where the rich people were just aghast that a poor person would even enter the same room, you know, and they would, you know, they would visibly and audibly just go, oh, like.
And also the soundtrack is always like, like opera, like opera
one,
music. Yeah. They're like, oh.
Like Tom Cruise comes into that in Cocktail, I believe. He gets into a fight at an art exhibit.
I will say.
He was a bartender. What the hell are you doing here?
Not to toot my own horn, but the white chick's jokes, totally funny, completely held up.
Yeah. Oh,
completely
really?
Completely.
That's good.
Really funny and totally held up. I mean, yes, you're watching a ridiculous fun movie, but there were some really funny jokes that I like, forgot about that were in there.
That's good.
But yeah, I agree. That's so true. Okay. So Travis, Kelsey, he did the little heart thing.
Yeah.
They're definitely together. The brother took off his shirt and then he helped this little girl say, like, I guess the little girl was a Taylor fan.
Yeah.
But so she was behind their rich person booth. But she looked, seemed like she had pretty good seats too. So then he went down and lifted her up so that she could like wave to Taylor, but mm-hmm. Taylor didn't come down and he didn't let the little girl go in.
Right.
And then of course people criticized that. It was like, I wouldn't let a grown man pick up my daughter. And other people are like,
what?
Oh God, leave
Jesus.
It alone, you weirdo.
This is a nice moment, you fucking weirdo.
They're like, he's a dad of
just
three
enjoy
kids. Like,
something. Enjoy God. Something, you fucking maniacs.
But you know, he had fun and you know, this is all for podcast listens, obviously. Their show is killing
oh,
it.
The Kelsey brothers.
But I was going to say, and then she had this guy got arrested in front of her apartment, the
stalker. Yeah.
Yeah, he'd been loitering around the front of her apartment. And not that I don't want to take anything from her.
Right.
But do you know how many women have strange people loitering in front of their apartments these days
yeah.
and the police will never come right. or care?
Yeah.
I mean, we all have people loitering that are saying weird shit in front of our apartments.
Don't we can't. We can't. I don't.
Well, I don't live in an apartment, but I mean, there's so, you know, it's like, what are you supposed to do? I'm like, wow, they really went. Like, good for them for arresting him. And I definitely think he's a threat, but like, be nice if other people could get that kind of response.
Right.
Okay, this story is crazy. So this man.
Also Kansas City Chiefs related.
So, because they were watching the game. So, these four guys were watching. They went over to this one guy's house
mm-hmm.
and they watched the game. Now, there was a fifth man who said, I left. And they, by that time, they were watching like Jeopardy. The game had ended and I left.
Something strikes me is that none of these guys are good at Jeopardy.
So anyway, the mm-hmm. three guys that were left at the one guy's house, nobody hears from them. And right. they're like, well, wait, they went to this guy's house. They text him. They try to message him on Facebook. No one gets a hold of him. They watch the game on Sunday. Not until Tuesday did the owner of the house respond. And finally, they came to the house. People came to the house and they're like, where are they? And they realized that they were all three dead in the frozen snow and frozen on his back porch.
Right.
So we, you know, it always takes a while to find out like what is in their system, what happened. He said, now his attorney is saying the owner of the house was sleeping on his couch for 2 days.
Yeah.
He didn't wake up till Tuesday.
Yeah.
If that is the case, then they're either going to find some weird drugs in these people's
bodies. It sounds
bodies.
Exactly like, you know, I mean, I've heard these stories before. It sounds like, you know, what is that drug that's in all the cocaine?
Fentanyl.
Yeah, fentanyl. It sounds very fentanyl-y.
Like they just tried something for fun.
Right.
And then they went outside to like have a cigarette or something and then mm-hmm. just like dropped dead. And the other guy was already passed out and he lived.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and then, well, who knows where they got the drugs from? You know, that's always something that they talk about. Will we prosecute drug dealers or they're trying in certain cities to prosecute people who just give you a drug that might have the fentanyl if you die. I could be then, involved in your death. So I don't know, but obviously this guy, they're going to talk more to the guy who owns the house. And I think that's a pretty good defense is that I was asleep for 2 days.
You think that's a good defense?
I do think that's a good defense because I think it's going to turn out that we all did a drug.
Right.
And I passed out and they went outside and what's the alternative? That I killed all three of my friends and locked the door?
Right.
And let them freeze while
I feel like
I made
there's
pancakes?
Other ways out of the backyard. Like if the door was locked, they're like, well, just go to the gate. Like,
no,
like
I,
the
fact right.
they must have died of something else. They didn't
That's
die
what
of
I'm
freezing.
Saying. I think they definitely died of a drug overdose something.
Right.
They and they were happened to be outside high or talking or whatever. And then just it all hit them at the same time. And he probably should have died too, but he woke up 2 days later.
Yeah.
I don't know. Very weird. Okay. Sofia Vergara now says that she and Joe, her husband, they did get divorced because he wanted kids. And she was like, no, mm-hmm. I'm, you know, heading into menopause. I think she's 50 or close to it. Oh, she's 51. He's 47. And she has a son that she had at like 19. And right. she's like, I'm down to just be a grandma. Maybe in a few years he'll be a grandma. But like, no, I don't want this. And I thought it was the chihuahua. I don't think that helped.
Right.
He had a little chihuahua that was not into her at
oh.
all.
Oh, I didn't know.
And then he brought around everywhere.
Hmm.
He now has a new girlfriend who's like 33.
Saw that.
And I just feel like, I think this sometimes can happen. But I think whether you're the man or the woman in the situation, how is this not like decided and agreed upon that you're going to have kids or you're not, or you're going to try and you're not? I think he lied, and I think he told her like, no, I'm totally good.
Right.
And then they started having marital problems. And then he was like, you know what? I gave up everything for you. Like, I'm never going to be a dad. And then she's like, oh, fuck you. You know, go be a dad then, you know, yeah. like, you know, after what she's been through with the ex-husband who hijacked their eggs,
oh.
those twin eggs. You know about that? Those twin embryos. So she had an ex-husband.
Okay.
And they had made embryos together.
Yeah.
And they had agreed that, you know, if they didn't stay together, whatever, then the embryos would be destroyed. They break up. He's not a winner. He's nowhere near like her success.
Yeah.
She's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And he is like, no, I would like to have these two embryos put into a surrogate and raise them. And she's like, no, I don't want it went on for years.
Oh.
And he got like all the religious people backing him. Like, these are two embryos yeah. that deserve to live because they're essentially a life. And in the end, she won to get possession of them again, to either
right.
donate them, destroy it, whatever she wants. But it was a good lesson for people to learn not to make embryos with somebody that you're not 100% sure you want to be
I've
with.
I've always said that. that is a rule I live by. Everybody knows
it. No, but this is why I'm like, girls, yeah. have the babies on your own.
Yeah.
Like, just get a donor sperm or whatever. And then, hey, if the guy comes along, great. And then when he's gone, he can't decide if your kid gets to play soccer or not. You're in charge. Anyway.
So Manganiello lands on his feet. He's got a new girl. He's hosting he's hosting a game show. I saw he's the host of Deal or No Deal on an island.
Yes. Oh.
I feel like that's what you got to do with reality shows now.
Just
you
put it on an
just
island.
Put it on an island.
Yeah.
So you take, we got to get cute, put him in a bathing suit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And get him on an island. So it's Deal or No Deal on an island, and he's the host.
Really?
Yeah. It's called Deal or No Deal on an island.
With the Meghan Markle
I don't
stuff?
Think this suitcase is, there's money hidden somewhere in the jungle, and you got to find it.
Meghan Markle and Harry just went to Jamaica.
Is that right?
To do the red carpet for the One Love, the.
Bob Marley movie.
That one, like, I'll go see.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that
I
one.
Wouldn't have guessed that in a million years.
I like really? The music. Why not?
Okay.
Kind of light and
it.
Fun.
Yeah.
Go to a fancy movie theater.
Yeah.
Have, like, a Mai Tai.
Nobody fucking the dirt. You're like, all right, we don't need this. Let's just a couple
anyway,
songs. Get us out of here.
They're in Jamaica, and I just am like, I know that they hopped on someone's private jet for free.
Absolutely. What do you think they flew? Spirit?
No, but I just wonder, like, who...
Yeah.
Like, who still wants to, like, have them be the couple?
Anybody would take
well,
that.
I've heard some people have gotten tired of, like, them mooching them. But anyway.
Yeah, okay.
So then she is now facing a lawsuit for the failing members of the role that she's playing. So she's playing this female drug lord that comes out today, Thursday.
On Netflix, right?
On Netflix. Yeah. A limited series. And she kind of changed her look and everything. I'm very excited. I think it'll be really good. And the relatives are saying, well, when we talked to Netflix about this and we told them stories off the record that we said, oh, we don't want this being portrayed in the series. And now it is. So we're suing.
Oh.
I'm like, good fucking luck. Anyway, she's not worried. She was dancing in Miami with her girlfriends. not childless because
yeah.
she has a child, but no babies in sight, doing killer movies and things that she wants to do.
I mean, she's on top of the world.
Yeah,
right?
Please have some fun. Okay, Amy Robach and TJ Holmes, they get their podcast. This is not number one. This is getting press every single episode. What is going on?
Have you listened to any of it?
No.
Oh, I have. It is, man, it is so boring. It's so boring. Like, congratulations to you who does an interesting podcast and myself who do.
Thank you.
It's not easy.
No.
It's not easy. And I think people like this learn that. After four episodes, they're like, we're out of things to talk about.
Well,
and as you can see, this is what's happening.
Well, she's getting bitter.
Yeah, of course.
According to this, she's getting a little bitter because she's like, They started to bicker and they had to start to have like some awkward moments. These are the things that they've revealed on it. One, that they were like functioning alcoholics after they were fired.
Right.
And they would go for a run and start drinking at 10 and he was having 18 drinks a day. The other one is they like to have shower sex. Okay.
Great.
The other one is that when they get in a fight, he basically does like the silent treatment and just goes away and like ignores her for 3 days or whatever, yeah. which is super annoying. And now she's like, if this doesn't work out between us, like, I feel like it's got to work out between us because we've given up everything. And actually, I'm kind of pissed at you because I don't want to do this fucking podcast with you anymore. Now she realizes it's not that easy.
Right.
It's not that fun. And she'd much rather walk into a studio with people fluffing her hair and the whole world seeing her and being done at 10 and not producing her own shit and figuring out what we're going to say and arguing with this fucker.
Right.
You know? And so, yeah. So it's, yeah, welcome. Welcome to podcasting
not
with your
to,
spouse.
Not to be this guy.
Be
but
this
don't
guy.
We all kind of want to see this one break up? I mean, in a way.
Well, I mean, there's, I'm the first.
Because they're a little much.
But there's the, I'm the first to admit that, you know, when I see that someone undeservingly gets a podcast and has articles written about them every day,
right.
when I think I've maybe been in the press maybe 10 times over 1,000 episodes,
yeah.
like, and because I don't have a PR person like, you know, funneling it through or
right.
calling Harvey B. Lund. So I'm kind of like, yeah, well, I won't be sad if this fails. Like, please.
Yeah.
We like there's people that do this for a real job that and we didn't have this. Oh, I'll just do a podcast after I got fired for like being married and screwing some guy that
yeah.
also was married. So who knows? This couple was on a flight.
Yeah.
And they demanded that their child, they had two free first class tickets and one economy.
Right.
The economy was in the child's name. And then they were like, well, we need another first class for the child because the child can't sit by themselves. And of course, anybody would be like, one of you can sit with the child up front and the other parent has got to go back there. Like
mm-hmm.
someone's got to sacrifice. But I think they thought that that would be their little trickery. Like who's going to put a little toddler by themselves? And
yeah.
they're like, well, one of, and the whole flight, they had to, everyone had to get off. And do you imagine?
Oh, I mean that, I feel like there's a lot of,
I have a lot of plane.
There.
This other one, they said, this guy looked out the window and saw that this flight was missing all these bolts on the wings.
Yeah.
So then they called and they said, okay, we'll fix it. But like, we probably would have been fine. So thanks for being such a narc and ruining our flight.
I'm going to say this about the door that flew off the Alaska Airlines
yes,
and things
please
like
do.
This. That was crazy. And it was, nobody got hurt. One kid lost a t-shirt. That's what I've heard. And other than that, it was, but let's give some credit to the mechanics or whoever keeps these planes running, because it's shocking that that incident is the only one that has happened in forever. And there are planes, millions of flights
right.
every day, millions of planes, and nothing really happens ever. And that's what we should be focusing on.
The positive
Not the
odds.
One door that came off,
yeah.
but all the doors that stay on. How's
right.
that? How's that? Thank you very much, everyone. That's can Delta Airlines.
You know, wasn't it that those two seats where the door blew off, they were never sold? Or that
yeah,
no one ever sat in it?
Nobody sat in it. Yeah, there was one kid like.
But don't you think
close.
That is like weird, either divine intervention or human intervention? Like, how is that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think they could. Yeah, who knows? But it's just, I thought, I watched the video of it and I thought everybody was being really. A little too calm. Like there was one guy just sitting there, his hair's like blowing, and the window and the door's off.
So the door just fell off like mid-flight.
I guess it wasn't supposed to be a door to begin with. They put these doors on that type of plane.
Oh,
and it wasn't actually a door. It wasn't a functional door, from what I'd heard. But it's yeah.
Because I'm always, if I can't afford the first class, I do the exit row.
Right.
Which always stresses me out because I'm like, there's no way I'm going to,
you got to help.
I'm going to know how to do this and open the door. Like, we're definitely going to burn if it's up to me. Like, and then if I do get out there, I'm not going to be like the last one to go with the captain. I'm going to go down the slide first. And then just act like I didn't realize it.
I would imagine you're the type to crawl over children to get out. I got shit to do. I got a 9:30 show.
Oh my God. Yeah. I don't know. So, this guy, Nick Cannon, was saying that he said to the New York, there's this rapper who got 5 women pregnant at the same time. And now Nick Cannon's like, oh, rest up and go to therapy. And these girls are all excited on TikTok that they're all going to have their babies together. And, what are these girls thinking? I guess they just don't care.
Some people just want
to. I just think they just think I can make money on TikTok and I don't need to really worry about it.
I was just in Las Vegas for a week. I was in 7 days. I was in Las Vegas performing. And there's a lot of kids in the casinos. But like little kids, like two, one, two. At midnight,
but they can't
11
be in the
p.m.
in the place where you're playing.
They
right?
can't touch. No, I don't think they can go on like the carpets. They have to stay on the path that leads to wherever. I don't know.
That makes me so uncomfortable that you could like be distracted.
Yeah,
and then like some creep takes your kid.
I mean, I don't know if there's any of that going on, but it was a lot of kids in the casino at midnight.
I remember when it first became that they were like. Well, it was like 25 years ago where all of a sudden they're like, because there was like the Vegas time, like the casino time, okay, that everybody like was glamorous and it was like this fabulous place to go. Then it like blew, like in the 90s, then it was like, this is becoming too kid friendly.
Yeah. Remember they went, they like, that was the angle. They went kid friendly.
Yeah. And now it's just like, I don't know. There's just so many choice. Did you go by the Fountain Blue?
No, because it's apparently dead. Like there's nobody there. They've just fired their third CEO in like a month.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You can't even go to like the fancy restaurants or anything?
No. I mean, there's nothing going on there. I went over in that area and it was, so anyway, it's this interesting story. What's happening to the Fountain Blue?
So, and then this guy is the biological father of 97 kids.
Okay.
He's now pushing for sperm to be, I guess, not... like overly used. You can buy the sperm. You can buy the whole lot, which is what I would suggest any girl to
do. What do you mean the whole lot?
Like if you go to a sperm bank and you pick
I choose to just lick it out of a drain. That's how I get my sperm.
No, like if you go to a sperm donor and you pick out this guy and he's cute and you know, and everybody wants the guy that's like of a certain height.
You don't want him to be.
You want him to be like a med. You want him to be good at everything. So you want like the medical student who also plays guitar. But also was like on you know, the tennis team or the baseball team or something.
Right.
And, you know, then you only can like look at their baby pictures. And then you're like, yeah, I want that. But for an extra amount, which some people can't afford, you can say, I'm going to buy all of his sperm.
So he can't have other
kids.
So
other people can't buy it. And then they can't. So that I think that's going to be more what's going to happen now because now he's like meeting with all these kids and, you know.
So this guy, I mean, that was like his business. He just went and...
Yeah, he was an engineer and, you know, and so he was smart and it was, you know, easy money. And I guess, you know, and just like a premium egg, he probably was a premium sperm donor and made a lot of money.
All right.
Whacking off. But then there's all these, you know, kids running around. Now, Chris.
Uh-huh.
Get ready for the end of the world.
Oh, no. Here we
go. Ancient zombie viruses are trapped in the Arctic ice.
Yeah.
And they could unleash a deadly new pandemic. It's a tangible threat.
Yeah.
Zombie. I don't really understand the science thing, but I guess it's like as the snow melts, there could be something down in the earth that could like come up and be like really fucking gross and take us down.
Right. Yeah. I mean, isn't this like the plot of like, the you know, the... Creature from the Black Lagoon or things like that.
Yes. And like there's this. And then the next thing I saw was spring of 2024, maybe buzzing with an explosion of more than 1 trillion. How do you say
cicadas?
This? Cicadas.
Yeah.
The first time they're going to hit in 221 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right. But what happened? Remember when there was all like those birds that showed up or all those dead birds?
Just fell out of the sky.
Yeah, they just fell out of the sky. There's all that weird shit. There's aliens. And then I'm still like, wait, you know what we haven't heard about this week? The list. The Epstein list. Where are they? We still don't know?
No, I think it came out. It just wasn't that exciting. It was like people we all heard before.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. You know, I mean, as far as I know, I don't know any. You know, what I had read was Bill Clinton and, you know, Prince Andrew and David Copperfield.
And we're like, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, well, that was, yeah, we heard that.
I know. I feel like it was such not a juicy scoop.
I think that's what happened. It wasn't as juicy as everyone was hoping it was going to be.
Ooh. Well, there's just no, but there's still, I think that's, where is the evidence? Or if they really did collect all that stuff and they have all these videos and stuff, it takes someone to be like, yeah, okay, let's share it. And whoever that person is getting paid to say, we misplaced it. It's in a storage unit. It's on the Palm, whatever.
See, for some reason, to me, the Jeffrey Epstein story just doesn't do it for me because I'm like, what? Old men are perverts? Like, yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. Like, none of this, like, especially the people they're talking about. I'm like, yeah, well, we all knew that about, like, a Bill Clinton type.
Yeah, I can
or
see that.
Some of
yeah.
these people. Like, if I saw something like, even the David Copperfield one, we all kind of knew he was a little pervy.
Well,
that's been
and
out
I also
there
just
before.
Think, like, I remember I did, like, a follow up on it, and it was, like, my worst episode. And I thought, like, everybody would want to know about this. And I'm like, I guess. Just like anything, they just get over it. It's like Kim Kardashian is now the face of Balenciaga, and everybody's like, so what?
Yeah, right.
And it's like, everyone gets over everything. That's why
I think
like,
people have shit to do, you know? And, you know, people have like...
I also think it's like, honestly, in the scheme of things, you know, this like the internet world that comes together that's not the mainstream media that really tries to get like people upset and everything, it's still such a small percentage.
Right.
That like writes in and demands that somebody be canceled for saying something or, you know, oh my gosh, look at this. And I was very into the Balenciaga thing. I thought it was really, I couldn't believe it. Now I look back and I'm like, was that a plan by Balenciaga this whole time?
To get people to come
just to get us talking?
Balenciaga?
Was it all set up? Because there were no children that were really abused.
Right.
It was just a weird situation they put them in, and then they had that the papers on the ads, and I'm like, and then everyone just didn't say anything about it. Now it's everyone went to the Balenciaga fashion show, and everyone's just like, I'm fine with it. You know what I mean?
I don't like the sneakers. It's about too big of a bottom on it. I don't have a big old sole on the Balenciaga sneaker. I'm not a fan.
All of the stuff, I just feel like I finally, you know, could afford. You know, some labely nice things.
Sure.
And I'm so incredibly turned off by like the robberies and the counterfeit and this.
Yeah.
And like people that are just wearing a big shirt, they're just like Gucci. Like, I'm like, I don't want any of it. Like, I just feel like.
So, what do you go with?
I just go with normal clothes. I just go like, I'll buy like a nice Vince blouse or like a fitted black blazer that's like, you know. Not a labely thing. Like, I don't know. I can still afford like a nicer product, but like, I don't know. It kind of bumps me out because I'm like, I was just getting kind of excited about it. And sometimes I'll see something nice and I'm just like,
yeah,
I'm turned off.
Okay.
I
got a, I was once again in Vegas for 7 days. And you start to lose your mind a little bit if you spend that amount of time in a casino because you don't really go outside.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's the real nice shops in Vegas.
Right.
And then there's just like these, I don't know, kind of just shops.
Yeah.
Where they got like button-up shirts with like dragons. Still that look. You know what I mean? The kind of an Ed Hardy almost.
Right,
that's still
right.
going. Affliction, whatever that was. That's still out there for some, I guess. But then I saw a hat, like a, you know, what do they call that hat?
A bucket hat?
No, like a pork pie or pork pie something. You know what I mean? Like not a bucket hat. Like a fedora.
Okay.
I think it's...
Calls it a pork pie?
I think that's what it's called. I think that's the type
for
of
a fedora hat.
Yeah, but it's not a... It like folds up in the front and around the sides. You know what I mean?
Like a cowboy hat.
No. All right.
Or whatever. Yeah,
like
fine.
A little derby. Anyway, boy. Thursday.
Okay.
I kept walking past it every day because I had to walk the same route to the comedy club.
Yeah, and how much was it?
I don't know, maybe I'd be this guy, finally. I'm like, because I think I could,
I'm getting older. People tell me to wear hats in the sun. I'm like, this, but I can't. Baseball hats are not accepted everywhere. You know, right. I don't look like that guy.
Yeah.
So I got this. And now, but that is a type of person. You know what I mean? This yes. is a, I'd have to change my whole lifestyle to wear this hat. And I brought it home, and my wife said, get that fucking thing out of this house.
Wait, I need to see it. Do you have a photo of it?
I don't. I was going to bring it today to show you, just yeah. for fun, and I forgot. So
it is kind of interesting when you're like, am I going to be that person?
That's what you, there are certain looks yeah. that you now the whole, your whole life has to be around that look. You
right.
know, like those Betty Page, rockabilly guys, you know, that yeah. look. You got to drive, now you got to drive a 1956 car. Like the whole look is
encompassing.
Yeah, you got to do the whole show.
Yeah.
Put on the whole show, you know.
Right. Or you're going to be that person that buys like the old rock and roll. Sometimes I do see like I did get like a cute Kiss t-shirt just because it was pink and cute. It looked mm-hmm. really cute.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, my brother made Shanna and I be Kiss for one Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
I was the drummer and she was the cat.
The drummer is the
no,
cat?
No, I was the yeah. drummer cat and she was Angel, the star.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, and then he made us
Paul
like,
Stanley.
Then yeah. he like made us like the cardboard
right.
things, put foil on our shoes. It was
nice.
So cute. And I've gone to a Kiss concert and all that stuff. And so I'm like, all right, I feel like I can buy this shirt.
Yeah.
But like I worry about that too. Like sometimes I like the look of it because it's like that look of like an old fashioned rocker shirt that's like a little bit frayed at the top and it's a little bit fitted, but then
yeah.
you wear it with like a cool blazer and jeans and it's like
hot look.
You're hip, but you're not trying to be too young or kind of still covered up. But then I'm like I feel
people
like
gonna
I
quiz
would,
you on the band.
Yes,
yeah.
I feel like I'm so scared to be quizzed because I don't want to be that girl that's like.
Yeah.
Acting like I'm into this band now.
Like Chelsea Handler.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah. She was. I saw her wearing a Bauhaus shirt once, and I'm like, she didn't even know who Bauhaus. She's never heard a Bauhaus song.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's.
There
all,
is the certain
always,
look.
Yeah. It's,
you know how I had predicted that vaginas would be like the new thing just because everyone's getting so naked?
Right.
And I just saw an ad for Kate Hudson's Fabletics.
Okay.
I don't know if she's still part of it. Maybe she's not. And they're, you know, like the stretch pants everyone wears all the time.
Right.
With just big holes cut out on either side of their hips.
Oh.
And you're supposed to go out like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Kind of
like Kanye's girlfriend with the
yes,
hole right now.
Yes. I just think like everyone's just like naked
yeah.
now.
Well, once again, going back to Vegas, and this is a story I wanted to discuss with you. Nobody's drinking anymore. And that, I don't know if you've seen this. This is the trend. Mocktails everywhere. Nobody's drinking.
Even McKenzie says that people aren't drinking, my daughter, drinking
no,
like they used to. And the bars are having to come up with like trivia nights and stuff.
Everything.
Just to get people in there.
And mocktails
and bars are
like
closing at like 12 instead of 2.
Well, everybody's closing at 12. There's no late night. Late night's gone.
Okay.
So the... Just like going to the bar, whatever.
Yeah.
The days of, you know, kind of like that show you're watching. Like though that era.
Yes.
Seems to be over, which is fine. I mean, I'll step aside. But I don't know what's replacing it. Is it holes in your pants? Because now mocktails are
it's
like
vagina, it's vagina cleavage.
Is that whatever?
It's
so
the part
at least
of your,
it's something.
Where your vagina meets your thigh. You're supposed to show that off now.
Really? I'll at least it's something. You know, where it's not, because I feel
yeah.
like right now it's giant pants, mocktails, and it's like, all right, where's the fun?
So with the mocktails, you mean they're going to the bar, but they're not getting alcohol? Because
yes.
Is that because we're in dry January or whatever that
no,
is?
No, I mean, I think it's beyond that. But it literally, there are now bars in New York City that are mocktail bars. They don't have liquor. And yeah,
oh,
quite
so
a few
then
of
they
them.
Don't even have to have a liquor license.
No,
so then that saves them money, right?
And mocktail, I mean, it's like juice, you know. It's just like,
well, I know that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of like, okay, well, you're still paying like $12
yeah, for cranberry juice.
I
yeah.
mean, I'd rather get like a pressed juice,
right?
And also, that's still like a lot of calories if you're going to have that juice.
I tell you what else I did.
What?
Speaking of drinking, because
yeah.
I don't want to. I mean, I'm not a crazy drinker, but
yeah.
I didn't want to give it up. Once again, you're in Las Vegas for a long time. You pass these places they call Fat Tuesdays. You've seen them all over. They got them in all casinos.
What
on the
are
strip.
They, Fat Tuesdays?
Fat Tuesdays is a place where they just have a line of daiquiris.
Oh, yeah. And you get the long drink and you just drink it up and down the thing.
And you can buy
like 1,000 calories. Who cares? Yeah.
I got 3 feet of daiquiri here, bitch. Now let's have some fun.
It's like the size of your leg.
So you could literally buy 1 foot, 2 foot, 3 foot, you know, and then get picked from like 10 different flavors. And they just.
Oh, I want to barf right now.
Big straw, and you just walk down the strip, you know, and I did it. I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm losing my mind. It's Thursday.
And did you get a real buzz? Because I feel like there's probably not that much alcohol in
it. I did because I, you know.
Did you get a brain freeze?
Get a little brain freeze.
Oh, my God.
But 3 feet of daiquiri, I finished.
What flavor did you get?
I got like a coconutty one. It was nice, like a pina colada. You know?
Well, of course it is. It's like 10,000 calories.
And
it's like delicious.
The guy's like, and with that one, with the 3 footer, you know, you get a refill, free refill. Like, I think I'm good with just, I don't need 6 feet of a vehicle. But I mean, and then you see people taking them home. You see them in the airport. You know, they got them in their luggage. I'm like, how are you going to use it again? Honey, I have my 3 foot daiquiri glass. The company's here.
And also, I feel like, we went to a restaurant last night to celebrate Brandon's birthday.
Yeah.
And we had some parents there, you know. And so the waitress comes, and she was really nice, but she was young. And so our friend is like, I'll have a, you know, this kind of tequila on, you know, make it like a Cadillac, whatever, margarita.
Right.
And comes back, and it's like completely wrong. Uh-huh. And so he's like, I'm so sorry, but like, no, I mean, I don't drink that much. Like, this is what I want. I want the top shelf tequila. Right. I want the da-da-da. And then Peter orders, like, a Cadillac margarita and a mojito comes. And then, like, so at a certain point, I'm like, I also think that the wait staff that they can get now, like, really don't know what's up. And so at a certain point, I'm like, I think you guys both need to get up and talk to the actual man.
Absolutely.
Who's like making the drinks. Yeah. Because, like, this just isn't going to work out. And it's true. It's like, you don't want to be a dick, but you're like, yeah. I want what I want. Like, right. I don't, if I'm going to have the calories and the buzz, I'm trying to be good.
Yeah.
But no, there's a whole campaign going on, a smear campaign against alcohol.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I mean,
it's like does absolutely nothing for you. And like, there's nothing good about it.
There's no upside.
This woman, she goes on Good Morning America.
Mm-hmm.
And her students surprised her with, you know, because she was like, she was a high school teacher, and they gave her a big thing, Good Morning America, just a few years ago, right
like
before the pandemic.
Of the year or something. Yeah.
No, because whatever her thing was being dismissed, like whatever art or something. Well, then everybody goes on COVID and like Zoom, and that is where then she meets this boy that's a senior in high school, and she's married and was like 35 or something. And, you know, and then started having sex with him.
Oh.
And, but I guess it was after, you know, that was one good thing during the Zoom years.
Yeah, you couldn't have sex.
You couldn't
with
have
students.
Sex with your students.
So, you know,
the minute the Zoom
ending,
the minute the Zoom ending ended
now,
but I mean, like, she made sure they were all vaccinated, and then she, like, had sex with him 30 times. But I mean, Good Morning America, like all these teachers, it's just like insane. It's insanity. Tell me what is going on in your life. What shows are you going to be at next?
Where I'm going to be now, I'm going to be this weekend, Friday and Saturday.
Where?
I'm at Hyenas in Fort Worth, Texas.
You love that place.
I go there a lot. I love it. Fort Worth, Texas, Hyenas.
Yes.
They used to put you in the hotel that John F. Kennedy spent his final night in.
Yeah.
That was always pretty exciting. Now they put you in a different hotel, but it was always pretty exciting to see the last, you know, and then he drove to Dallas from there, and that's where it all ended. You ever go see Dealey Plaza, where it all went down?
Speaking of John F. Kennedy, so Robert F. Kennedy, what do we think?
That he's going to run for he's running for president.
Is Cheryl Hines going to be the first lady?
No chance of that. But I mean, he's getting some, there is some.
I'm really sad I lost touch with Cheryl Hines.
Yeah? Why? Because she could be the first
lady.
Yeah. It is interesting that he has some interesting whatever.
Okay, so go back to your dates. So you're going to be at Hyenas this weekend.
Hyenas in Fort Worth this weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Then mm-hmm. then where do we go?
Oh my God. Then
you
I
did
go
make a cute little poster. You should have sent it to me.
I didn't make it. I had somebody make it for me. Nice. I can't do that. But yeah, they did a nice job. Yeah. And then I go to Louisville Comedy Club. I haven't been to Louisville in forever.
Okay.
Brand new comedy club in Louisville. Louisville Comedy Club. That's Thursday night, February 8th. On to Comedy Off Broadway in Lexington, Kentucky, the 9th and 10th of February. Then on to Punchline in Philadelphia.
That's always fun.
Always. Oxnard Improv right up the street here. DC Improv. I got a ton. Frangiola.fun has all the dates. Frangiola.fun. Podcast is called Cover to Cover. Go listen to that.
Follow him on Instagram. He does funny stuff, and then all the dates are there.
And everything else.
Yes.
Yeah.
So good for you, Chris. Thank you so much.
How's everything going with you?
Oh, we're just getting started. We're going to go to lunch. I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
Everything's great. Yeah. Like I said, like it's about, you know, family. Mm-hmm.
Family.
Family is
you
good.
You and me both. I mean, that's
it's
it.
It's good.
You know?
It's all good.
Yeah, who cares about all this other dumb shit? You know,
in the end,
the cicadas are coming. Like, get out of here. Just take your family close and let the cicadas eat everyone else.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
What do you get?
Or become friends with Lauren Sanchez.
Oh,
I'd like to be friends with her. She's not answering my DMs, and neither is Cheryl Hines.
Did you know her, Lauren Sanchez? She's got big.
I met her once. You know, I met her through the time.
It is funny because she was like a local
Jillian Barber.
She was
like
a local person here. It is funny to see the two of them like running around at, you know, they are of a certain age, and they're
good
like
for them.
Running around, big boobs on her and stuff, and
they're on all the HG all or whatever it's called. Yeah, you, like they'll live till they'll look like that. It's 80.
Everybody's crazy. Yeah. That's what I say. Everybody's insane. And I watch these award shows and I watch him.
Yeah.
And, like, you could be rich and whatever. You're still fucking insane.
Amazing.
The award shows, these people get up on stage like, has this guy ever spoken in front of people before? I mean, bunch of idiots. All right. Bye-bye.
Love you, Chris. Bye.